Blog Talk Radio.
There was a Stonehenge monument on the stage that was in danger of being crushed by a dwarf.
With the players.
Come on, live direct from hell, Final Pass.
But hey, enough of my yakking. What do you say? Let's boogie.
Hearing myself. Hold on. There you go. Hi. Well, hey guys. Sorry, I had a little technical problem there. But again, welcome to Monday night and a special edition of the Hard Rockin' Sports Show live from high atop Hard Rockin' Sports Studios in beautiful scenic Monroe, New Jersey. We are your usually Thursday night weekly get together. We have 3 hours to bring you all the biggest news, hard rock and sports. But tonight's a special edition, kind of not a practice show, a little taping I need to do for something. So we kind of cracked up the mics and we'll have a little fun for a little time. And I'm glad you guys could join us here, playing a little NFL background music because this show is all about, this is all going to be about the 2020 NFL draft just completed this past weekend. And for a lot of us during these tough times, no sports, no live sports. This was the first live, I'll call it live sporting event that we've had in a very long time, about well over a month. So it was nice to have something to that we've seen a million times. Live draft was different. It was odd, obviously. No red carpet. The NFL draft has evolved over the past 40 years that I've been paying attention, from a conference room in the Sheridan in New Jersey, I think it was, to Radio City Music Hall, to the event it's become now. And listen, I don't like all the fanfare and the pre-draft rock concerts and all that stuff. It's not for me, but I'll tell you that as far as the draft goes, I thought it went off without a hitch. I thought the commissioner did a nice job, and I thought it was definitely well worth watching. And I watched the entire first round, a good part of rounds 2 and 3 on Friday night. Saturdays, I caught bits and pieces. I was running around a little bit, so I didn't see the entire rounds 4 through 7. But again, it was nice to have some live sporting event, even though it's not an event. But guys, we're going to get into this. We don't have a lot of time tonight. Try to keep this to about an hour, so I'm going to get on right away with my partner in crime, Mr. Jeff Talwinski, and get his thoughts. And we have a couple of our panel of NFL experts. Well, like I said, I'm taping this tonight for my brother. We have a little project we're doing, so this is going to be part of that project. So thanks for hanging in joining us on a special edition of Hard Rockin' Sports. Remember, tomorrow, 3 o'clock, Lothar from Guar joins Jeff and I for a special edition of the Hard Rockin' Sports Show tomorrow afternoon, Tuesday, April 28th, 3 p.m. Lothar from Guar, along with Jeff and myself, right here on the Hard Rockin' Sports channel. Hefe, what's up, brother?
What are you doing, man?
I don't know, week five of my leave from work, and my wife's got me moving pretty good. She's got me building, putting up barn doors in the house and painting and shelves. So there's no shortage of things for me to do over here every day.
What is she doing? Why? Did she not realize that you're on vacation?
Well, she's not considering this. She calls me a loser for not having a job. So it's my way of earning my keep around here is building things for her, I think, Jeff.
Well, I mean, listen, a loser may be kind of tough love there, but I don't know about that.
Well, it's all good. It's just some stuff. You know what? It's stuff that needs to get done around here. And during the regular time of the year between my regular job and the show, I don't have a lot of time to put up barn doors and paint bathrooms. So, you know, I figure I get some of this stuff done now, do it at my pace. And, you're a lucky guy. You moved into the house. You don't have a lot to do. And you're doing well over there. I know you're off this week. How's it feel to be off again?
Yeah, I'm off. Not by my choice. The city, the mayor, de Blasio, gave everybody, all the city workers, a week off. So thank you, Billy. But
there you go.
Hey, if I might ask.
Hey, listen, nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. We'll see how all that works out. But tonight's not about coronavirus. Tomorrow, will you be joining me for the Blothar Guar interview? Are you coming on board for that one?
Yeah, I'm going to be home, man. I got nothing else to do.
Beautiful. Okay, so then we'll do a coronavirus.
About this guy.
Listen, we'll talk off the air. This is we'll start the show at 3. We'll do a little bit before. Then he'll be on at 3:30 till 3:50, and then we'll do a little show after. Do a little coronavirus stuff and some other sports stuff that's been creeping up. I noticed today in the paper was the first time I started seeing a lot of baseball stuff. So I know basketball. They're talking about getting the teams into camps this Friday for a June 1st startup. So I think we're headed towards some back to normalcy, Jeff.
I think so, but then again, I heard that the city is back on lockdown until May 15th.
Correct. Yeah. Well, that's been that way. Cuomo said a couple weeks ago that he was pushing it out till May 15th, and then the weekend he said he's going to start releasing construction and manufacturing, but more upstate and let it work our way. So I think I may be out till June 1st, but we'll see how it plays out. But like I said, I don't have a lot of time, so let's get the boys on. We'll do a quick NFL recap. Before I get Jeff and Matt on, Frank and Matt on, Jeff, give me a minute on what you thought of your Jets and their picks from this weekend.
You know, I don't know all of the players involved, but I kind of thinking that some of the picks, I don't understand. Why do you draft a punter? You know, that's something that you should have been able to address in free agency. That's one thing. You needed wide receivers, so you picked one. You picked one wide receiver. I don't understand that. They also quarterback. When there's so many different other quarterbacks floating around in free agency, I don't understand that. You know, like just certain things, because I couldn't figure. But why? You know, I don't know.
Yeah. The quarterback thing, and I want to get to that while we got the boys on. But it was interesting to me that. All right, if you want to take a quarterback there, and you know, the thing I heard floating around was they were looking for a guy, develop him, maybe turn him into a Jimmy Garoppolo type. If that was the case, why not take Jake Fromm from Georgia? I mean, Jake Fromm was still there. If you're going to take a developmental guy and sign him for the same amount of money, take Fromm. He's a better quarterback, I think, than this kid Morgan. Now, maybe Morgan turns into something in a couple of years, but – If you're really going to go with a young kid this year as your backup, which I can't imagine, I would think they're going to sign a veteran guy. I would have thought Fromm, but we'll get that. You know, that was a strange one at number four. They took another safety. Didn't make any sense. Yeah, the punter.
No,
yeah, it was a strange draft.
My biggest thing is the quarterback and the punter. I don't understand why they drafted that the way they did. As far as the quarterback goes, last year you went in with Trevor Siemian. And some kid that was Gase's buddy boy.
Yeah.
So you had three on the roster, and look what happened when Siemian went down. So God forbid Donald goes down for it, and he has gone down in his first two seasons. What are you going to turn to this guy? He looks like he's 45 years old, as it is, with that mustache, the pictures I saw of him.
Yeah. Well, let's get the boys on, and you and I could do a little bit of stuff tomorrow specific to the Giants and Jets, but I want to get our NFL experts, two guys who I think are of the brightest football minds that I've grown up with, and guys who if you saw the text messages, were all over this draft. So let's get Frank Jeffrey and Matt Salitri on, and let's see. Frank, you there? Matt, you there?
Hey, what's going on, guys? We're here.
What's up, guys?
What's going on? Okay, we got everybody here. Let's get to it quickly. First, let's start with this. I'm going to go to Frankie first on this. And, guys, we're going to try to keep the comments as short as we can because we only got about an hour. So let's not run it out. Let's not get to any arguments on this stuff. But just real quick, Frank, Eddie, give me your quick thoughts on the draft itself. Were you did you feel there was any differences? Each of you guys are going to answer that same question. Frankie, any differences in the draft? Did you think it was good, bad, or it didn't matter? We were so thirsty for something that it didn't matter.
I think at this point we were so thirsty for something, I don't think it mattered. I think it went off pretty well. I think the NFL did a great job. I think they really, you know, got their shit together and did a really good job on it. And like I said, I think at this point we were so starved for something that, you know, it's like going into a restaurant and you're starving and you're like, oh, this food's pretty good. And then you go back to that restaurant when you're not so hungry and you're like, I don't know why I like this place so much. So it was like kind of like that. I think we were just so starving for something that, of course, we thought it was great.
Yeah, I agree. Matt, what do you think, Matt?
About the same. I felt like it was a little lackadaisical as far as the excitement because, you know, it was supposed to be in Las Vegas. So, of course, it would have been a tremendous show if that was able to go out the way they wanted to. But for what it was, I think they made lemonade out of lemons, and I think it was a good job. So,
Jeff, I know, Jeff, you didn't watch a lot of this, the second and third day, but as far as the first day, we watched it together. And what you did see, were you impressed? Did you think it was a good job by the NFL considering the circumstances?
I think they did the best that they could do. I like the way that they pulled it off. There didn't seem to be any glitches. I didn't read of any or hear of any. And I thought that they did the best they could under the circumstances. Was it what we would have liked? No, definitely not. But that's because they've hyped it up with all the pomp and circumstance that they have over the years. So now it's a little scaled back, but we got a little something, and I guess they're trying to keep their calendar year on target. So I think they did pretty good. I liked it, the way they pulled it off. I just couldn't watch the second and third day without other people around. You know what I mean?
Well, maybe next year we'll have to do an extra show maybe to cover day two and three. But you brought up a great point, and give me a quick second on this. Do you think going forward that the scaled-down version, you've seen the pomp and circumstance version where they, you know, red carpets and the players are coming out and everybody's hugging everybody. Do you think that this kind of dressed-down version, Jeff, was something they may go through? Not saying they're going to do it virtually every year, but maybe take a little bit of all that excess out?
No, definitely not. Definitely not. It has such fanfare to it. How can they scale back now?
Yeah.
People are going to be looking for something even bigger next year to make up for what they missed out on this year.
It's very possible. I think that did any of you guys hear? I think they said they're going to do it in Vegas next year now. Did you guys hear that?
No.
Yes.
It's going to be in Cleveland next year.
I think they announced that they're going to do it in Vegas next year and move Cleveland to the year after. I could have sworn I heard that.
Vegas is 2022.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll take a look. But wherever they have it, it'll be a good thing. And, you know, it would have been nice for Vegas to get it. I think it would have been huge. I still say the Super Bowl in Vegas is going to be out of this world. I've been to two Super Bowls, and they're great events. I can't imagine seeing it in Vegas with all the stuff going around it. But let's get to the draft itself. Before we get to specific team grades and drafts and all that stuff, I want to talk about some of the things that I noticed, and I want to get it from you guys. So, Matt, you're going to be up first with this one. Here's one of the things that surprised me is the Patriots. It was an odd draft. I mean, they went no quarterbacks, no receivers for a team that was desperate for receivers.
Right.
They drafted three defensive players on a defense that was already – I'd also say they lost Van Noy and Collins and all that. They bring in safeties when they have a ton of them. this and then drafted two tight ends. What's going on up in New England? I want all you guys to comment on this, but Matt, you go first. What's going on? What was Bill doing?
Oh, he's always got a plan. I'm never going to second guess what he has in the back of his head. I think that where they were picking, I don't think the value was what he wanted. He had certain guys on his board he probably targeted. And, you know, the last time they had two tight ends that were one athletic and a good blocker was back when they had Gronk and Aaron Hernandez. And you know, they were pretty great, you know, solid tandem there. But, I wasn't crazy about any of the quarterbacks in this draft anyway, aside from, you know, maybe Burrow. But I heard you mentioned Fromm earlier, and I don't like him at all. But I don't know. I just think that they stuck to their board. And, you know, you still got guys like Andy Dalton out there that may be traded. Cam Newton's still out there. So maybe he grabs somebody like that.
Yeah, he did trade down a couple of times early. I think out of the in the first round, or maybe second round.
Yeah.
And Frankie, let me ask you. I mean, you saw the same thing. I mean, for a team that's got no quarterback, very little in the way of receivers, and a ton of safeties, it was an odd draft. Do you think that Bill gets a pass? Obviously, because it's Bill Belichick, and maybe he's got a plan, or maybe it's time to tank. I don't know.
I think I have to agree with Matt. It's hard to judge. I mean, Belichick's been so great for so long and been proven he could win. It's hard to question what he's doing, but I agree. It was kind of bizarre that he didn't grab a quarterback somewhere. And I also agree with Matt. I mean, you had Burrows, and then, like I said, of course, Tua. I like Tua, but the injury question with him. Outside of that, I'm not as high as on the rest of these quarterbacks as everything. Like, I heard you talk to Jeff about Fromm. Fromm is, you know, he's one of those guys that it's like, yeah, it's great to have him because he's got great arm, but, you know, there's a lot of work left in some of these guys, you know?
No, listen, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm a proponent on the fact that I was not high on any of these guys. I think Tua and Herbert, I think are a little bit too drafted too high, but they were, you know, teams are quarterback starved. But I'm saying, if you're the Jets and you're going to take a project in this kid Morgan, who's got a nice arm but is nowhere near being NFL ready, why not take a guy at least who played in an NFL ready program? You know, who, if you hit on him, you know, maybe he's a piece you trade later. It just made no sense there. And to me, if you're going to, why take a quarterback in that spot? There's some good players that are on the board. You know, the Jets need help, and you take a quarterback who's a developmental project. Jeff, that's an odd pick. But Jeff, before we get to that, tell me about the Patriots. What you thought about the Patriots and their move?
Dude, there's nothing more to be said. The two guys, Matt and Frankie, said it ahead of time. It's Bill Belichick. How are you going to question anything that this guy does? That's number one. Number two, I firmly believe that he still has a plan. You know, you got to remember, Andy Dalton is out there. He may get traded. Cam Newton is still floating around. Jameis Winston, rumored to be going to the Saints. I don't know if he has. I know it's something to do with after 4 o'clock today, so that it wouldn't be a draft pick or whatever it was, but he's still floating around. And there's still plenty of Trevor Siemian is still floating around. There's still plenty of guys out there that are still floating around. So he could take – maybe he has a plan. I don't know. How do you question Bill Belichick with his past record? It's almost impossible.
Agreed, but you know, for face value, guys, and I don't know how everybody feels, but at face value, you know, it comes to me and looks like if you're letting Van Noy, Collins go, and then you look at this draft where you say you beef up the defense, you know, I'm not looking at this as a short range project. I think Bill Belichick is rebuilding. I got to be honest with you. I don't think he's playing his cards at this moment that this is a team that's going to compete in the AFC East next year. I mean, the Dolphins
Tommy, you
have
know,
gotten better.
You know what, Tommy? You know what he's doing? He's shoring up an area that he feels was already strong that needed some youth and some talent. He's thinking about winning games 17-10, 17-14, 20 to whatever. If he doesn't go into the season with a bona fide – you know, veteran quarterback. That's what you're going to see from them. They're going to play defense the best they can.
I got it, but
Stidham, I don't like Stidham. I saw him at
Auburn,
and I don't like him.
Again, more of a run passer guy. Not a So Frankie, but that works fine. But think about it. You had the same theory last year for the Patriots. They went in on their defense with a 6-time all-time great quarterback that you're not going to have this year, and you're not any better on offense. How could you know? They struggled last year, even though they won 12 games. They struggled, especially offensively. Frank, how do they expect to be better when the talent is less and the areas that are weaker strength are the same?
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to get better. See, what New England fed on for the last at least 10 years is that the AFC East was miserable. I mean, Jeff can tell you this. He's a Jet fan, and I'm a Dolphin fan. I mean, the Bills, the Jets, and the Dolphins have literally given New England pretty much 8 wins every year because you're playing them twice, and, you know, maybe they go 50-50 on one team. So you're getting anywhere from 6 to 8 wins every year just playing in the East. So, and if you're winning that division every year by dominating that division, you know, you get used to that. Well, it's a different ball game now because I think the Buffalo Bills did a fantastic job. Yep. I think the Dolphins did a good job. The Jets did okay. They did, you know, like you said, the quarterback was a little scratch in my head, like you say. But it's a different ball game now. The AFC East is not just going to be a cakewalk for New England anymore. And I think Belichick's underestimating that a little bit right now.
I agree. I tell you what, guys, I'm telling you right now, Buffalo by far at this moment, I think it's with the moves they made this offseason, I think Buffalo is by far the best team in that division. You know, is it possible that the Dolphins are better? Maybe. I mean, Buffalo, look at it. I mean, they got Espinosa, I guess, whatever his name is, from Iowa, the defensive end. I mean, they had a decent draft. We know they had a great offseason as far as, you know, they got Diggs, Norman. I mean, that's a better team now. So, Jeff, you know, to me, the Patriots as built now may be at best a middle-of-the-pack division team, Jeff. They could absolutely fall to number 2 and maybe 3.
Well, you know, dude, listen, you got to remember, like we've been saying all along, one, it's Bill Belichick. He doesn't owe anybody an explanation, as much as I hate to admit that. That's one thing. Second, until dethroned, the AFC East still goes to New England. Yeah. Because everybody says last year that their team wasn't that good, they weren't that good, but they still finished 12-4 and won their division.
That's because of Tom Brady.
Yes, but, you know, also Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick was still there. I don't think that it's a rebuild. I don't think that this is a team that's done being put together. I just don't think that he has a sense of urgency. Remember, all he has to do is make the playoffs. So, you know, nobody says he has to win the division, that he has to win the AFC. All he has to do is get a team into the playoffs. That's all he's got to do. And I think that he's more than capable of doing that.
I think this year New England's going to be more rated on how well Tampa Bay does than how well New England does in the East. I mean, you gotta call a spade. I think if you're a New England Patriots fan, you're going to be watching what Tampa Bay does more than you're going to be worried about where you finish in your division.
Yeah, I think. I think the East has gotten better, to be honest with you. But we'll get more into that as we get to the division. We're going to go through a couple of the teams in the division. I want to get to everybody's favorite team. You know, we have 2 guys from the East here, 2 guys from the AFC, and 2 guys from the NFC. So we'll get to all the teams. I want to get to it. Again, Hard Rockin' Sports, 347-826-9934 here on a special Monday edition of the Hard Rockin' Sports Show. Remember, tomorrow, Jeff and I will be back with Guar. Blothar from Guar at 3 p.m. for a special interview, and we'll do a little bit of a show alongside of that. And Thursday night, we have 2 guests. We have Mark Fauna from Grand Funk Railroad and Pete Biggiani Jr. from the band Kodiak joining us. And remember, the following Thursday night, Tommy John, he of the arm surgery, Tommy John, Yankees, Dodgers, joins Jeff and I on a regular Thursday night edition of Hard Rockin' Sports. Check out HardRockinSports.com for more information on our upcoming shows and guests. We got a lot of them coming up, guys. But, Jeff, let me talk to you about a couple of odd moves in the draft. One I thought was odd, and I think – I don't even want to say odd. I think it's dumb. And I know Matt – I'm keeping Matt to last because I think he's going to be vehemently against what I'm about to say. But, Jeff, the fact that the Green Bay Packers drafted a guy who might not be ready for 2 or 3 years to play on a team with a quarterback who doesn't want them to draft another quarterback or have a quarterback on the roster. When you're on a short term, Jeff, you have to win the next year or two with this quarterback. He's now 16 years in this league. To not reinforce the problems that you had, receiver, defense, Jeff, trading up to get a developmental quarterback, or taking one, I didn't say trade up, sorry, taking a developmental quarterback in the first round for the Green Bay Packers, Jeff, I thought it was an odd trade, an odd move, sorry, not trade, sorry.
It may be, but you know what? Aaron Rodgers is somebody that was taken behind a quarterback that wasn't going anywhere anytime soon. What do you say, for three or four seasons behind Brett Favre?
3 years, I think it was, yeah. Mm-hmm. But so, he wasn't a developmental player.
No, he wasn't. And, you know, listen, as far as whoever plays quarterback behind him, maybe the general manager or coach would turn around and say, you're not running the team, you play for the team. We pick the players that we want, not who you feel comfortable having around, you know, as far as your possible replacement. I mean, listen, Aaron Rodgers, what is he, 35, 36, maybe even a little bit older? What's that?
At least, yeah. I mean, he came in the league, 2004?
He's 35.
Okay.
35, okay. So there's no guarantee that he's going to be around another 2 or 3 years. You don't know. If the guy gets a few injuries, maybe he won't be playing. Maybe he'll decide to call it a day. So not everybody's going to last as long as Breeze and Brady. So it's smart to start thinking about a possible replacement for him.
Yeah, but there's some better quarterbacks. Like in the Green Bay situation, I'm sorry to interrupt, but in the Green Bay situation, there's some better quarterbacks even in next year's draft that Green Bay could have went after. You know, gave him a year later, and now you're a little closer to the Aaron Rodgers end of the contract. You know, you got Trevor Lawrence next year. You got this Justin Fields. You know, there's a couple of guys out there, you know,
they'd have to give up their entire draft to get Terrence Lawrence or Justin Fields.
I know what I'm saying. Absolutely, guys.
I agree that, but they also got Costello. There's still some other guys out there in next year's draft that you can look at.
You want to take a quarterback in the third round, second round, even in the second round maybe, but the first pick in the draft for me, guys, on a team that is, I guess borderline, it's a playoff team, Matt. It's a team that could do some damage to not reinforce your strengths, not to go after and reinforce your weaknesses in this draft, and especially early, is a mistake. I'm sorry. You could take a developmental guy if you've got a locked up team and you're in the second round maybe, but in the first round to take a guy who won't play on your team probably for at least 2 or 3 years makes zero sense to me. But go ahead, Matt, tell me I'm wrong.
This is a discussion that could probably go on for another 2 hours. I will say this. I've always felt like in the draft, when you spend all year scouting and whatnot, if you see a guy you want and you got to have him, you can't pass up the opportunity to get him. You have to go up and get him.
Got him.
Now, the Giants had Phil Sims. They got Hostetler. The Cowboys had Staubach. They got Danny White. You can go down the line of quarterbacks that have had solid backups behind them and were built to come in so that the team wouldn't fall flat on their face when the starting quarterback maybe gets hurt or goes out. Now, as far as this kid's concerned, I watched him last year. He was a stud. This past season, he lost his entire coaching staff. It was the fourth offense installed. He lost seniors, a lot of players. He tried to do a lot, and he threw a lot of picks. But this kid is talented, and somebody like that that's that talented, you're not getting him in the third round. They knew that, so they had to take him. Now, I do agree with your point, Tommy, that first-round picks have to come in and make an immediate impact. And if you rewatch the game against the 49ers, they got smashed up the middle. They got ran all over. They did nothing in this draft to help their run game, except for draft this kid from Minnesota, inside linebacker, who's a thumper, but he's terrible in coverage. So I agree with you. They did nothing to really better themselves at all. And I think they're still going to be behind Minnesota. In I think they're not going to win the division. And, I just feel like the history of the NFL, you look at the teams, you know, Jim Kelly had Frank Reich. You can go down the line. You need a solid, quality, good backup. So if your starter gets hurt, your season's not over. And the players need to know that, you know, they still have a shot to get to the playoffs or to get to where they want to go. If you don't have a good backup, then pretty much without saying it, the team's going to pack it in.
No, I got you, but I, you know what? I did, well, while you guys were talking, I looked up Danny White. Danny White was basically a free agent signing. Jeff Hostetler was
a
third round pick. I got you. But what I'm saying is these teams did not waste number one picks on guys that they weren't going to play.
I agree. Gotcha. I agree.
Gotcha. The one thing that nobody's mentioned so far, and I'm actually kind of surprised that nobody's mentioned it, how can you question Green Bay? Look what they did. They picked Aaron Rodgers how many years ahead of time before he started. They hit lightning in a bottle with Brett Favre. He was drafted by the Falcons, and they went out and they got him. This team, maybe they have that knack for finding the quarterback down the line. Maybe, like, you know, Matt just said, it's okay if it's the guy that you want, you got to take it. And, Tom, we have discussed that. If the guy that you want is there, or you feel as though this is the one that's going to lead you to bigger and better things 2-3 years down the line, and he's there right now, what better place to learn than behind Aaron Rodgers?
Exactly.
For three seasons.
I agree with Matt. I think Love was very underrated in this draft. He had a tough senior year, and like Matt, all the things Matt said, when you watch him play, if you go back to his junior year when he had a little bit better team,
he was phenomenal.
He was phenomenal. He was a solid guy. Like you said, last year he tried to pick the team up on his back and carry it with really nothing. And I agree with you. His stock went down. It's a great pickup for them.
But isn't that the sign of a good quarterback?
But I agree with you, Tom. I think you should have got him in the second round.
Yeah, but here's the thing. If he's such a great quarterback, think about Tom Brady years. You know, Tom Brady hasn't had the greatest talent, but he was able to take that talent and make it better because he was a good quarterback. So why didn't Jordan Love, if he had such a great year? So what it's telling me is if you surround Jordan Love with
four
great
different
players,
systems. There were four different systems in his college career.
It wasn't just about losing players. They changed the whole thing. You know, like the whole coaching staff was totally,
again, guys,
like Matt said, totally.
I agree.
No.
I want to
Tommy,
answer to Jeff. Jeff, you're right. There, Jeff.
Last year during the draft, I was sitting right next to you. Mm-hmm. When they called Daniel Jones, your jaw hit the floor. You were upset because they picked him when they did. And then you turned around the next day and you were like, I wanted Daniel Jones, but I didn't want him in the position they picked him in. You want him in, what, number 17 or whatever it was. So the Giants saw their guy and capitalized because he was there. And they maybe said, well, this guy's not going to last till 17, 18, whatever their next pick was. So maybe Green Bay could have turned around and said, you know what, we'll grab him in the second round. But maybe he's not going to be there in the second round. So why not
have been.
Take him? Why
the
not
Colts,
take him? They,
the Colts
Green
wanted
Bay
him really bad. The Colts
Green
wanted
Bay
him really bad.
The defensive help and receivers for years, and they haven't done anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
But here's my thing. Jeff, and I agree with you, and I was going to go there with the Daniel Jones things. The difference with Daniel Jones is, one, he was going to a team that had probably no chance of making the playoffs the next year. He was going to be a one-year on-the-bench guy and play. This guy right now, they're talking 21-22 before he plays on a team that was one game from the Super Bowl who has many deficiencies and needs a lot of help. So, listen, I got you, and you're right, Jeff. Most teams, if you got your guy, you take him, and I felt that way about Daniel Jones, but it was on a team that had won three or four games, wasn't making the playoffs the following year, and they thought, and they were right, he's NFL ready to play now, as opposed to a guy who is nowhere near ready to play in the NFL. That's the difference. So now, how does Green Bay go into next season? They lost one starting linebacker, another backup linebacker. They did not help themselves at receiver, running back. Come on, guys. This was a bad – I don't care what anybody tells me. If you're building this team for 2022, great. You just blew next year. That's the way I look at it. You just gave up next year.
Who's to say that the team is going to do nothing next year? I don't believe in Chicago. I don't believe in Detroit. And I'm not too sure about Minnesota either.
Minnesota got a lot better in this draft.
Yes, they did.
A lot better. Minnesota had a really good draft, and they improved the team. And the other thing is, too, not only about their division, if you look at that, the whole
–
yeah, but I'm saying if you look at the whole division, the NFC in general, Dallas got better. Minnesota got better. San Francisco got better. You know, even the Rams who were right there, they got better.
And Green Bay didn't. So let's call it.
And Green Bay didn't, exactly.
Right. So to me, Matt, I got your point. You built your team for three. Maybe you maybe built your team for 3 years from now. Maybe you helped yourself. You didn't help yourself this year. So, Jeff, finish what you were saying because I want to get Matt back in one more time on this. Yeah, Jeff.
What's that, Tom?
Go ahead. You were in the middle of saying something. Finish what your thought was.
Oh, I mean, do you really, as far as the NFC North goes, do you really believe in Kirk Cousins? Is Kirk Cousins going to take that team to the next step? I still think it's a winnable division. Now, I understand all of the other teams that you guys brought up points about, cool and everything, but Green Bay, or once again, all they have to do is try to win their division and then take it from there. You know, nobody says that they have to go out and win the NFC outright. You know, all they got to do is make the playoffs. That's how a lot of teams are going to be looking at it.
You're right, Jeff, but if everybody's right, if Matt and Frank are right, and Minnesota got better, which I think they did, although losing Diggs, and some of the other teams got better in their division alone, and if the Cowboys got better, which, you know, they suck anyway,
look at the NFC. Look at the NFC East. Mm-hmm. So what? The Cowboys got better. Who else do they have in there? The Eagles, the fucking Redskins, and the Giants. These aren't three. None of these three teams are going to scare anybody, and you know that.
Again, I'm not arguing any. We'll get to that in a little bit. But here's the thing: if Frank and Matt, who are our experts, say that the rest, a lot of the teams got better, the Green Bay Packers didn't with this. So, Green Bay hurt themselves, Matt, by making this pick for down the line. I get it. And maybe that's what they're looking at, but they didn't help themselves at all.
No, I agree with you 100%. As far as the guy that I was shocked that they got, but it was a good pick, was A.J. Dillon. He's a big, strong, physical running back to go with the guy they have there now, and Aaron Jones, a nice 1-2 punch there. But, yes, I agree with you. Like, you made a point earlier and about you know, Green Bay and stuff. Who would have ever thought that Joe Montana would be wearing a Chiefs hat? Who would have ever thought that, you know, Steve Young would have been traded from Tampa to San Francisco? And you can just go around and round and round of Tom Brady leaving the Patriots to play for Tampa Bay. This is what I think Green Bay is thinking about. I think that as good as Aaron Rodgers still is, he could be a tremendous trade piece for them in 2 years. If he's still playing at the top of his game, there's no reason why another team who's quarterback starved, like Brady went to Tampa and still wants to play for another 3 years, like Favre did leaving Green Bay, which no one ever thought would happen, played for two different teams. You know, this kid Love is ready in 2 years, and they trade Aaron Rodgers for a boatload of picks. You know, this could be their thinking, because why not? It's happened so much during the NFL, in the history of the NFL.
I got you, but then my theory would be, I want to go for one more run with this guy.
Exactly,
and then
exactly.
Right, but
exactly.
then you didn't help yourself this year.
They didn't.
To do that.
They didn't. They made a big mistake.
You didn't get you didn't get the run stopper you need because San Francisco ran all over you. So you didn't get nothing to slow that down. And then on top of that, if anything, you needed wide receivers help. And your first two picks in the draft was a backup quarterback and a backup running back, in essence.
Right.
But you didn't even get a wide receiver that would help your team now. Somebody that could spread the field.
Now, keep in mind that today is still, free agency still going. And they're going to be veteran players released. And you still have big men out there like Damon Harrison, some really solid defensive tackles. You have – you know, some good like Drake Kirkpatrick was a good player for many years for Cincinnati. There's still people out there.
Yeah,
and
Clowney.
From what I hear, you know, Clowney's still out there. From what I hear, Eric Berry, the safety, is coming back to the NFL. Is supposed to be 100%. So there's still guys out there that maybe Green Bay can grab that help them. But yes, I mean, I'm more surprised they didn't draft a receiver. And this receiver draft was so deep
that
they were still getting. Still getting great players drafted in the fourth and fifth round.
And they didn't pick a receiver, not one. Not
exactly.
One.
No, not one. They got a tight end with their third pick. But let's move on a little bit. Jeff, I want to get to a couple other strange ones that I saw. Jeff, you know, this draft was big on two things. Matt just brought up the receivers and tackles. I thought the tackles went pretty much the way it was going to go. I mean, you know, not the order, but they went all point basically in the same time frame they were supposed to. But the run on receiver started, and everybody talked before the draft that Judy from Alabama and CeeDee Lamb from Oklahoma were the two best receivers. Yet the Raiders took Henry Ruggs, also an Alabama receiver, before the other two guys. Jeff, do you think that Gruden and Mike Mayock outthink everybody? Do you think this is a situation where they just said, we're going to go outside the box here? I think this was a strange pick because I don't think Ruggs was the best receiver on his own team, let alone in the draft. So, Jeff, what do you think of the Raiders taking Henry Ruggs?
I have no idea. After reading about it, I would have said that this guy seems to have been like the fourth or fifth best receiver in the draft, if not even a lower. I don't understand what they were thinking, but maybe they saw something. But then again, you know, listen, Gruden has only won one Super Bowl in all of the years that he's been in the NFL as a head coach. So, you know, maybe he's just taking a stab in the dark. I don't know. I wouldn't have taken him, not with the other two guys that were available right there.
I agree, and I know there was some chatter before the draft. Somebody said that somebody had put out one of the teams lower in the draft had put out a something that Judy was hurt or had his knee wasn't responding, and they, you know, just to try to make his draft his status drop. Frank, any thoughts on Ruggs going being the first receiver taken in the draft? I thought that was an odd pick.
I think what Gruden did was he picked for his system. I mean, he's got Terrell Williams, he's got Nelson Aguilar, he's got some decent receivers that run good routes and get whatever, but he doesn't have anybody that could spread the field. And now he's got somebody that could spread the field. He went based on speed and somebody that could spread the field for them because they didn't have that before. They never did.
Yeah, listen, he's definitely a deep over-the-top threat. I get it, but Matt, Judy and Lamb, I mean, to me, at the very least, I don't think he's even the best receiver on Alabama's team. And I don't think he was the best receiver in the draft. But what's your thought on Ruggs going to the Raiders?
Well, I agree with Frank on system. I think it's you're drafting on taste. You know, it's like the tackles. There were so many different styles of offensive tackles. It's really who you fell in love with and fits your system. So, you know, when I was in Florida coaching football, I actually met Jerry Jeudy. He played in Deerfield Beach High School. And I met some of his family members. And I, you know, as far as his knee is concerned, he's 100% healthy. He's a great route runner. He was in high school and he was in college. I think he was a little bit of a product of, you know, the athletes in Alabama that were around him. But I also think that if you look at what Frank said earlier, Ruggs is the guy to take the top off the defense. They had nobody on the roster like that. And Judy is more of a slot kind of a guy because they had Cortland Sutton on the outside. Now they got this kid. Even KJ Hamler from Penn State is a burner, total slot guy. As far as CeeDee Lamb, he's a slot guy. They, you know, 70% of his routes, yes, they were at the X or Z, you know, spot outside. But he also did a lot inside and moved around a lot. And the Cowboys lost Randall Cobb. They do not have a slot guy. Bang, there's the slot guy. Plus, you know, he ran a four, just a sub 4.5, a little bit 4.44, but he's got tremendous hands. He's a technician. He's a great route runner. So it's really picking what you love a taste of. You know, if you love shrimp,
right,
you love shrimp. You like lobster, you like lobster. So it is what it is. And I think that those three teams took what they needed for their offensive systems.
Right. I agree with you because I think, like I said, the Raiders needed a guy because – I mean, they were hoping Antonio Brown to be that guy that's going to spread the defense and draw somebody deep so they could pound the ball and hit the, like you said, the slot receivers that they have. They don't have that guy now. So they picked more for need. And I agree with you, Tom. I don't think he's, like you said, I don't even think he's the best wide receiver from Alabama. But
no,
it's what the Raiders needed. It what fits their system. It's the tool they needed to finish their toolbox so that
right,
they could play the offensive system that they want to play. That's period, the end.
Okay. All right. Listen, it's a good theory. I always tend to think that Gruden, especially now with Mayock, have this theory that they're smarter than everybody else and they think outside the box. And I just, I do, and I think that they will do the opposite of the right just to be different than everybody else and say it was smarter.
It kind of helped Gruden. It helped Gruden back then that he had the Raiders playbook when they played Tampa. So, you know.
Yeah. Let's get to winners and losers. Let's get to some winners and losers. I have a couple of winners. I thought, well, I'm going to give you one. I did, and it's going to pain me to say this. I thought the Cowboys were the big winners over the weekend. I thought they had at
Holy
least the
shit,
first
break it out. Who said what? Yeah. What did he say? I just
Man, are you recording this?
I need
listen,
the defibrillator.
Are you recording this?
I need the defibrillator.
You should, because listen, they got lucky. Let's be honest. Because no one in the world, anybody thought that CeeDee Lamb was going to fall to them.
No way. I agree with you 100%. And they got lucky. Their
yes.
first three picks were lucky, because if you ask me, Lamb was definitely the biggest luck of the draft. And number two, Trayvon Diggs, he was a number one corner. He should have went in the first round.
I had Diggs at least in my third, if not my second corner in this draft. I thought those two picks alone –
Neville Gallimore in the third too. Oklahoma.
I was going to say Gallimore was huge in the third. I thought that was
yep.
a big one.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I think the Cowboys were the big winners. Now the team that could be the big winner could be the Dolphins. But their whole draft. And Frank, don't jump yet, because I'm going to ask you specifically about that in a few minutes. But I think their whole draft hinges on Tua. If Tua falls apart or is not the player that they're
crap making, out of me.
Yeah. So
yeah,
I mean that's. That's
me
a
too.
Tough
me
one.
Too.
So I'm going, my big winner is going to be the Cowboys. My big loser, you know, it should be the Texans, because they did nothing, but they set themselves up beforehand to do nothing. So I'm not picking them. To me, it's the Patriots. I think the Patriots are the big losers in this one. I think they had a terrible draft. Now, yes, you guys were all right. Jeff surprisingly went with it and said, you know, you never know what Belichick's thinking. But I'm sorry, when your team is that
in
bad, offensively. And you know, are you drafting for best player available? So to me, it's the Patriots are the big losers, and the Dallas Cowboys are the big winners. Unfortunately, Jeff, you have a big winner, a big loser from the weekend.
Well, listen, dude, I gotta say, as far as the Patriots go, and you know, I hate the Patriots. I hate Tom Brady. I hate
yep.
Bill Belichick. I just hate them all. I hate them. I hate them.
Tell us how you feel.
Oh, God, I fucking hate them, man. You just can't label them losers yet. You can't. You actually have to see what the finished product is. I mean, this was a team, everybody, like I said, everybody said last year was a subpar team, and they still won their division. So I'm not ready to label them losers yet. As far as losers go, I would have to say that I'm kind of low on the Jets and what they did. My team, a team that needed wide receivers and I'm not happy with the tackle they got. I think he's too heavy. He may be a good player, but he's young and he's very heavy. He's going to only get bigger as he spends time in the league. Is he going to hit 400 pounds? That's a question that worries me. So I hope they keep an eye on him. I don't understand why they wasted the pick on a quarterback when they could have went through a free agency and got one. I don't understand why they drafted a punter. I don't understand why they drafted another defensive end that has somewhat of an injury history. So there was some, they sound like
Tommy,
good picks.
Can I comment on that? Can I comment on that real quick, Tom?
Let him finish and then you can comment. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Okay,
go
so the punter they got was from Texas A&M, correct?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah.
Okay, let me tell you this. Best punter in college football, and he's going to help the team in special teams by, you know, just, you know, punting the ball.
He's a Ray Guy type of punter.
He's fantastic. He'll pin everything inside the 20. He's a great angle kicker as well, and he's got a great leg. Number two, Jabari Zuniga, he was an absolute stud, unblockable before he started getting some injuries last year. So based on injuries, guys are going to draft. They're going to fall in the draft. But the tape never lies. So when you look at tape of this guy when he was healthy, that's what you're going on. So that's why they drafted him, because they needed outside speed rush. They needed him. And if he's 100%,
I understand that,
he's going to be fantastic.
Let me just add three and four for you, okay? One, three, this is the Jets. Nothing ever goes to plan. Okay? Second of all, I didn't see and don't remember any other punters being drafted in this draft. Maybe there was. It slipped past
Nobody
me.
Was good enough.
Cleveland drafted a kicker.
Well, yeah. But I'm talking. So as good as he is, 31 other teams passed up on him how many times before the Jets finally grabbed him. Now, he could be a great punter. That's all well and good, and I hope that they got a great punter. But they could have nailed the punter someplace else. You're not going to talk somebody that's going to have a 70-yard average on punts. It's just
impossible. Well, it goes to what we said earlier, though. It goes to what we said earlier. If you see the guy, he's on the board, and he gives you good value, and you need a punter, you got to take him. Because if you wait,
it was the Jets' last pick in the draft.
Yeah, I mean, Blankenship from Georgia is a great picker too, and he went to New England unrestricted. So
you got to take into consideration the other needs of the team. All right, they still need wide receiver help. And then
didn't they get a good one in free agency?
Well, they drafted Mims, who I like out of Baylor.
Yeah,
so that was
Denzel Mims is good.
Not Mims.
Yeah, Mims is a good player.
The kid from Tampa Bay they got, but he had a strong five or six games at the end of the season last year.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? I agree with Jeff. I think the big thing for the Jets is they don't have, if you want to call a quote-unquote number one guy. Perriman's okay. I mean, they lost Robbie Anderson, who I was never a big fan of anyway. I like Mims. Can he come in right away and play? I don't know. It's a good pick, though. I thought he did okay. I think, Jeff, just to add on to your Becton, I agree with you. I think he's got a lot of upside, but guys, he's one guy that I worry about. I mean, take out the flagged drug test. Let's call that I don't think the guy was doing crystal meth. I'm assuming he went out party with a couple buddies, and I think he'll be fine. But Jeff's right. There's a kid at 364 who mother's a caterer who's a chef and likes to eat. You know, this guy could go the wrong way quick. So I agree with you, Jeff. I like Becton, but I wanted no part of him.
Why would Becton go the wrong way? When he was in college, he came in at over 400 pounds. It worked his ass off in college when he wasn't getting paid.
To get an
now
NFL
he gets drafted. Now he has it, and he'll be fine. First, you got
to
get around the guy. He's a friggin' house.
Listen to what you just said, bro. He wasn't getting paid. Now all of a sudden he's going to have money at his disposal. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it's liable to happen, and it worries me. What happens if he gets too heavy, and he's too heavy for too long? He's going to be wearing on his knees, his joints. It's just something to consider, something to worry about.
Yeah, I see the point.
If he came into the league at 330 and he topped out at 367, okay. But he's coming into the NFL at 367. That worries me. 370 pounds, man. That's massive.
I agree with Jeff on that one. I have to be honest with you. But let's get everybody's winners and losers, and then I want to touch on all four of our teams, and we'll see what time we have left. Frankie, your big winner, your big loser from the weekend.
I'm gonna stick with the Packers. I understand what Matt's saying about Love. He's definitely a good quality quarterback. You needed him, but in your first two picks of the draft that had great wide receivers and awesome defense and pass rush that you needed, you picked a quarterback and a running back. You took your two best players and picked backups for your two best players instead of picking up wide receivers and defensive inside help that you needed desperately, desperately needed.
I agree. So I agree. That's your loser?
That's my big loser. My big loser is the Packers. I'm scratching my head about it because, like I said, I get like what Matt said. I agree with him. Love is a better quarterback than a lot of people give him credit for. But you're talking about a guy that's not going to help you for 2, 3, possibly even 4 years if Aaron Rodgers stays healthy. You know, I just don't see it. And I'll tell you, I happen to like you said. Unfortunately, I hate to say it too, but the Cowboys, they picked the right guys. It just seemed like everything fell to them. Lamb, Diggs, Gilmore. I mean, everything seemed to fall right.
How about getting Bradley and I in the fifth round? 30 seconds.
I was just gonna. That's who I was just going to bring up. And they got Bradley and I from Utah, a DN in the fifth round. Like, they really got the max, I feel, out of each round that they could have gotten. The Dolphins, like you said, I love what the Dolphins did. They did a great job. I mean, we got a decent backfield now.
Frank, who's your favorite pick for the Dolphins of the day, aside from the obvious? Like, forget about Tua. Who's your favorite player drafted?
Yeah, Tua, like you said, Tua I was 50-50 about. We talked about this in the past. Tua I was 50-50 about because I'm worried about his how he's going to be. You know, I think getting Jackson was big for us. But I think Noah was a huge.
Yeah, I like that. Big Bionni was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so Frank, your big winner is the Cowboys, your big loser is the Packers. Matt, I gave Dallas credit. Let's be honest though, it fell in their laps. It wasn't like they plucked a guy out of things or not, but they had the best draft. So Matt, give us your winner and loser. I'm assuming it's going to break my heart. You're going to tell me it's the Cowboys, but it's rightfully so.
Yeah. I agree with you. I can't say they picked who they should have picked. Let's just say
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
Fell in the lap. They didn't get cute. They did what they had to do, and it's the best haul since 2005. So I'm going to have to go with my team. And the second, as far as the losers are concerned, you know, you could pick the obvious of what we've been talking about, and it would be justified. But for me, honestly, I'm going to go outside the box, and I'm going to say the Houston Texans had a terrible draft. They just because of the things they did before the draft, they really handcuffed themselves. They had to wait, you know, for just to pick. And I don't think they helped themselves at all. I think Deshaun Watson probably just sat there, you know, with a towel over his head, and they didn't get much better. Giving away great players is never a smart thing. And so I'm going to stay in Texas and go good and the bad.
Yeah, but I think, you know, they had no chance going in. They had nothing. They were begging. They were begging
they
Detroit for a trade. Yeah, of course they did. Listen, he's done a terrible job up there with a team that's been wasted.
Yep.
I mean, that team should have won and played at least one Super Bowl so far in this run, and they have not come close yet. And they've done a bad job, not so much on the field, but basically off the field. They have had no answers when their key guys go down,
yep.
Which a lot of teams can say that. So.
And you watch when he gets when they trade J.J. Watt next, you're going to watch him get lynched.
Yeah. All right. So, you know, Jeff, let's go back a little bit and let's kind of dig in a little bit more on your Jet picks. I want to do that for everybody's team. You know what? I'm going to go first because I'm kind of happy with my Giants. So I'm going to go first on this one just to annoy Jeff a little bit also. So let me just bring my screen up.
It doesn't really annoy me.
I like the corner they drafted from UCLA a lot. I like him.
I don't understand some of their picks either.
Here's what I'll tell you. This is what the Giants did, and I'm kind of happy with. I loved Andrew Thomas. Again, he's not the most upsided guy. Okay, I'm the first guy to say if Wirfs could be the best player in this draft easily, Becton could be another guy. I think Wirfs is going to wind up playing guard in this league, which is going to be fine. He'll be another Quentin Nelson. That's okay. The Giants need a left tackle, and they need somebody who can play right now. Now, I don't know what happens next year, but I think it was a good, solid, ready-to-play right tackle, left tackle. He played 2 years at right tackle, 2 years at left tackle in a pro-style offense in the SEC. And I think it was a Senior Bowl. He dominated in practices against guys like Chase Young. So to me, this guy is a good solid pick. I love Xavier McKinney. I think McKinney is an underrated guy.
But
now he's,
you know,
not
Tom. Yeah, Jeff. You can't. Everything that you said just now about your guy doesn't make any sense. That he dominated in practice. You don't like guys that do anything at the combine. What makes the difference that he does
practice?
He's
not shorts
really?
And t-shirts. They're out there in helmets and shoulder pads practicing.
It's practice.
Again,
this guy was the sixth best tackle, easily. Horrendous pick. Thank God for the Cowboys in that division. Thank God.
So, I like Thomas. I loved Xavier McKinney. Now, McKinney is good because he played. McKinney gives you a little bit of Swiss Army knife. I love McKinney. I think it was a great pick.
ESPN had him rated in 91, McKinney. Is he that good?
Yes, he is.
McKinney is that good. The problem with McKinney was he had a bad.
Whoever rated that kid 91 was smoking a bong.
Yeah, it's Jeff. It's Jeff. Jeff rated him 91.
No, it's on ESPN. Look up.
I don't care what ESPN says.
Here's the problem with McKinney. He ran a bad at the combine. He had cramps. He ran a bad 40, and that kind of hurt him.
He just got done being sick. He had like the flu.
He had the flu.
Could possibly have the coronavirus. Who knows at this point? But he was sick before the compound, so he just came off being sick. That's why he was dehydrated. He was cramping up.
Matt, this reminds me of Landon Collins all over, and I think this kid's better than Landon Collins coming out of college.
I agree.
Yeah, so this was a good move. After that, it's a lot of I liked Matt Peart. He's not a bad player. The guys I really like were the linebackers. I loved Cam Brown, taking him there. Carter Coughlin's another guy. And the guy I really liked was this kid, Shane Lemieux. If you watch any highlights on this kid, I think this guy's a mauler and just a guy's
going to
run. Yeah, I think he's going to wind up playing center for them. They're just going to try to move him over to center. This was a good, solid draft for the Giants. Not an A+, a solid B+, maybe B-, because they filled needs, Jeff. They need the linebackers. They took four of them. They needed guys to help to clear up the special teams. They got some guys that can help there. And they got themselves two guys who could start opening day at tackle and safety. That's why this was a good draft for the Giants. Go ahead, Jeff. Beat me up.
Listen, Tom.
He already did.
There's not much to say other than I got to ask questions. This is a team. I don't know. I just don't think that they did good. I mean, I think they could have done better than Thomas as their pick for offensive tackle.
Yes.
Some of these other guys, why? I don't even have Coughlin, TJ Brunson, all the guys they picked at the bottom. Most of them were linebackers, right?
Yes. They took four linebackers in the bottom of the draft, yes.
Are these guys even going to see the team after the preseason?
Yes, they'll be all special teams guys. These are guys that may come in at some point and play. But the Giants this year, between Zimenez, Carter, the kid, Blake Martinez. I love Ryan. I love the kid Ryan that got hurt last year. Ryan Callahan. So Giants at linebacker are not looking for starters. They're looking for guys to play special teams and maybe to find a guy, a diamond in the rough. This was a good draft by the Giants. I don't know, Matt, Frank, a second or two, you guys, any thoughts on the Giants draft?
I think
I thought it was good too.
I disagree with you on Tristan Wirfs. I think he's going to be a left tackle for Tom Brady for sure. I think Solomon Thomas is a good tackle. I think it fits their system. And as far as the linebackers are concerned, I think that was a little bit overkill. I think Cam Brown is the only guy legitimately has a chance to start. He's a little angular, but the other guys, you're right. I think they're just filling the bottom of the roster, special teams guys. As far as McKinney, I've loved McKinney for the last 2.5 years in college. I think he's smart. He's instinctive. He lines guys up where they're supposed to be, and he makes plays on the ball. As a safety, the most important thing that when I was coaching that you wanted to see was, number one, getting his guys lined up properly with the defense that you call, and two, his instincts, his burst to the ball, his reaction to the ball. And McKinney does that all day long. So, and he's also a very solid tackler, which is important, because if your safety can't tackle, like Grant Tilpit, that's why he fell, then you're in trouble. So I think he was the best safety in this draft out of a safety draft that wasn't that good. So I think the Giants had a solid draft. I don't think there was anybody spectacular. They just got a bunch of hard-nosed guys that are smart, football IQ guys that are going to just come in and play ball.
Frankie, quick on the Giants?
I agree. I think the Giants did pretty good. I think I don't think you have anything to be embarrassed about. And like you said, a lot of the linebackers they picked in the back, that's what Matt, and I know you know this too, Tom, that's what we call when you're drafting for depth. They're depth drafts. You're drafting for some defensive depth and, like you said, special team depth. I know you're saying that's crazy to do, but, you know, in this draft, when you're doing that late in the rounds, why not?
Yeah.
You know?
Who's the Giants tight end right now?
Evan Engram is the starter. They have
Ingram is still there?
Ingram's still there. They picked up the kid from the 49ers. Can't think of his name top of my head. And they have another rookie from last year came over late. And then so I think Scott Simonson might still be there. But, yeah, I mean, Ingram, who I don't love, is still there. But they, like I said, we'll you know, that I would have liked to have seen him. But I didn't think there was a game-changing tight end either in this draft. We'll see how that plays out. Jeff, give me a little something on your Jets before we move on to the Dolphins and the Cowgirls.
Cowgirls, wow, that's not right, man.
Listen, you can
I said what I said about expecting. I just, his size currently worries me. I just hope that he turns out to be, you know, and the drug testing too, you got to be careful of. I just hope that he turns out to be a solid pick. Mims, from what I understood, that the Jets wanted him and they were able to trade down and still get him.
Yeah, that was a great move.
I would like to see the Jets get, I don't understand why with the third pick they picked the safety. I would like to see them go after another wide receiver.
Yeah,
I
got to figure out what's going on.
You know, running back. I think maybe they, all right, they grabbed the running back, but they're saying he's a patient runner. He's not aggressive. Is that going to help them? Why didn't they take another wide receiver or two further into the draft is beyond me. I would have liked to have they did pick another offensive tackle, but probably more for depth than anything else. I definitely would have liked to have seen them take another wide receiver in their position. I still don't think they have a solid, clear-cut number one for Donald, but
you know,
it's nice to see that they built up the line a little bit, so at least he's got that much going for him.
Yeah, I tell you what, I thought Joe Douglas did a decent job the first couple rounds. After that, he said it, and I know you're going to hate to hear this, but he basically said, you know, toward the third, fourth round, he was trying to take best available player. And again, to me, at that point, you know, unless you're a team that's, you know, unless you're the Chiefs, you better be filling needs, not being taken the best available player and restocking positions that you're already stocked in, like
well,
safety.
The Chiefs, you mentioned the Chiefs, of course, but one team that no one's mentioned so far that got really strong and stronger was the Ravens, without a doubt.
Yes,
yeah.
I agree. Unfortunately.
Ravens and 49ers, that, like you said, we haven't talked about the Ravens or the 49ers. Both of those teams, I thought, got better.
Tremendous.
Well,
when you get J.K. Dobbins in the second round, that's incredible value.
Yeah. No, I think the Ravens did do a good job, and they need to because their quarterback sucks. And it's going to come tonight. Yeah, their quarterback sucks.
I don't think you could say he sucks. Come on.
He's all right. He's overrated.
Him getting injured.
He's overrated. Come on. That guy's overrated.
Oh, my God. How can you say he's overrated? The guy's an athletic marvel, and he got better passing last year.
Dude, what happens if he twists an ankle? He makes
that's
one
it.
Of his run.
Well, anybody can. Anybody
no,
can
no,
in football.
No,
anybody can do that.
No, here's where you're
but
wrong,
not
guys.
Not so much when it's your quarterback.
No, I agree. If Tom Brady twists his ankle, it don't matter. If Peyton Manning twists his ankle or his knee, it don't matter. That guy lives and dies by running the football. And if he can't run the football, you take that away from him, he's an average or at best quarterback in the pocket. So that's the difference. So you can live and die with that. Look what happened to RG3. RG3 was going to be the next great thing. Got hurt his knee, and no longer was the next great thing because he could no longer get out of the pocket and make plays. So that's great for Lamar Jackson. Twist an ankle in a game, jam a knee. I wouldn't let him open a car door for me on the way to the stadium. I think he's fucking hurt. He'll never win a Super Bowl. Mark, say it now. He'll never win a Super Bowl. Because you take away his run. You
can't say
game,
he'll never win a Super Bowl because Trent Dilfer won one.
Agreed.
Yeah.
But, again, that was an all-world defense that won that. He did not win that.
Even a broken clock is right two times a day.
Yeah. Listen, I thought that J.K. Dobbins pick, I liked Patrick Queen. I love that kid at linebacker.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I agree with Frankie. Baltimore had a great draft. I think the only thing that really made the 49ers draft go well was the fact that they were able to trade for Trent Williams. So, I mean, that was, you know, otherwise.
Oh, well, Javon Kinlaw is a beast, too.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's not a great – their draft wasn't great. It was a good draft. But, you know, being able to replace Staley with Trent with Williams is a good day all by itself. So,
yeah. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying they had a great draft. I'm saying what they did to lead up to the draft and what they did in the draft is they totally improved their position. They got players that were needed. They got good players where they needed it. Did they get the greatest players? No, but they improved their team. And they won the division last year, so they're going to be right back there. That division, to me, is probably the best division in football right now. Because you got 49ers is still going to be good. Seattle's still going to be really good. They didn't have a great draft. They did okay. The Rams got better, and they were on the cusp of making the playoffs. And I think the Arizona Cardinals are going to surprise a lot of people this year.
I'm not buying that one.
Yeah,
it is a better division. I don't think it's the best division in football.
You said Arizona Cardinals. Like, look at that team they got. They got, you know, you're talking about DeAndre Hopkins is still very productive. Larry Fitzgerald. They drafted some good offensive linemen. Their running back, the kid they picked up from Miami last year, had a solid season. They got probably the best linebacker in this draft in Simmons. And,
absolutely.
Yeah, they're going to be better. They're going to be better, but they won't be the best in that division.
No, they're not. No, they're not going to be the best in that division. But what I'm saying is, at the bottom of the barrel, they're going to make that division strong. That division. That's
absolutely.
What I'm saying is that division's a really good division now.
Yeah.
You know, there's no cakewalk. You're not going to just walk into Arizona and just crush them like you know, maybe last year or the year before. They're going to be a tough out now.
They weren't the best team last year. They weren't getting walked on last year. They weren't the greatest.
No. They were feisty.
But they weren't a bad team.
They were feisty, right. That's what I'm saying. They were feisty, and they got better.
I think Cincinnati's still going to shit the bed anyway.
Oh, yeah,
but
me
you know
too.
What? Their draft wasn't bad. I mean, Burrow, I'm not super high on Burrow. I think Burrow has a chance to be a good player. And they get
T. Higgins.
Yeah, and then the Wyoming linebacker is a good player too, Logan Wilson.
I love that kid.
Yeah, so there's some. I think Cincinnati had a quite. Cincinnati's thing's good for them. They have to trade Andy Dalton and come back with a little something from it.
Yes,
but
exactly.
They need to, whether it's a piece of puzzle, for the team, or go ahead and get another couple draft picks for next year. But Cincinnati had a quiet draft for a team that drafted number one. Nobody's talking about Cincinnati's draft, and I think it was pretty good. The first three picks are really good. You know,
do you like Baker Mayfield?
No, I think he's overrated.
So this year they went out and they said, all right, we're gonna get Jack Conklin at right tackle. We're gonna draft a really good left tackle. They got a lot of weapons on that offense now. They built up that defense. If he doesn't get them to the playoffs, and I don't mean just get there, they got to win a playoff game.
I agree with you.
I think they're gonna be in. Holy shit mode all over again at quarterback.
Yeah. I agree, Jeff. I think if Baker Mayfield comes out this year with the team they put around him now and he doesn't have that step up year, I think it's going to be a time where they're going to be scratching their heads and start to think about Trevor Lawrence in the first round next year.
And they're going to trade for Aaron Rodgers after this year.
Wow, that's big. But Jeff, I think this is a big
move. But you know what? I don't think that he was worth the hype when he was coming out as number one. If you remember, that he was projected to go to the Jets at number three, and it was kind of a shock to see that Cleveland pegged him at number one. You know, in his defense, he's also on what, his second or third head coach and second or third offensive coordinator. So, you know, they get a little continuity going up there, maybe things change for him.
Yeah, that's possible, Frank. I mean, it's a big year. I mean, I think there's a couple of guys. I think Donald's got to step up and have a good year this year. But yeah, I think with the team that's been built in Cleveland, Frank, I think Baker Mayfield, it's his time, either shine or don't.
Yeah. It's the age old saying, Tom, put up or shut up. It really is at this point, because this is his year. Because he can't complain. He doesn't have weapons around him. He's got so many weapons around him. I mean, they've got the systems in place. I mean, this is really, like I said, it's put up or shut up, kid, you know? That's bottom line.
Yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting time. Hopefully, listen, guys, I don't think we're going to see much of an off-season workout program. I think everybody's coming in July. Maybe they start a little earlier in July than normal and get a couple of weeks in then. But unfortunately, I know Saints have already said there's no off-season program. We'll see you in July. So I think this is going to be an odd year this year. A lot of teams, you know, a lot of new coaches, a lot of quarterbacks moving around. You know, maybe it's too early, but before we close this up, and again, Hard Rocket Sports 347-826-9934, a special edition of the Hard Rocket Sports Show today with me, myself, Jeff, and our good friends Matt and Frank. And don't forget, tomorrow 3:00, Jeff and I'll be back with Blothar from Guar, and Thursday night with Mark Fauner. Guys, give me
we
the
still
team.
Know Richie Sambora.
Hey, listen, he's a pain in the ass. We've tried, believe me. We have tried. Real quick, give me the team. Give me two teams each conference, guys, that are out ahead of the pack right now. Give me two teams in each conference. Matt, go first.
Two teams in each conference.
Yep.
out in front of everybody else. Wow, it's really early.
I like that. You know why? I want to ask you now. I want to ask you before training camp, and then I want to ask you before the season and see how it changes.
Are you asking us for like a peak for a Super Bowl picks, or just two teams from each conference?
Just two teams that I want to ask
that are going to be improved, and you think right?
Yeah, two teams that are on the upswing and a little ahead of everybody else right now.
In the AFC, I'm going to stick with even though I like the Bills a lot and what they did, I still am not totally sold on their quarterback, the Bills quarterback, because, you know, he slid on whatever fourth down in that playoff game. I just think it's the Ravens and the Chiefs, because I think they're just loaded with talent on both sides of the ball, explosive on both sides of the ball. So in the AFC, I'm going to stick with those two teams. In the NFC, I'm going to go with the 49ers, because I just think they're old school smash mouth, and they stayed strong and got younger. The second team, you know, God, it's going to be hard. I don't really have a second team other than the 49ers. I can't really. I'm not gonna say Cowboys, because they haven't done shit since 1995. So until they show me they know how to win football games when it counts, I'm not gonna pick them. But if I had to pick a second team in the NFC, I'm gonna go with the Saints, because I think Drew Brees is just incredible. So I'm gonna stay with Drew Brees over there.
Okay, Frank, give me two teams in each conference.
I wish I would have went first. I have to agree with Matt. AFC, Baltimore, Kansas City. Right now, Baltimore was 14-2 last year, got better. Kansas City was 12-4 last year. I don't think the Broncos, Raiders, and Chargers did enough to challenge them down in that division. And they got a little better. I don't think they did that great in the draft, but they're better. So those two teams, definitely solid.
Broncos offense.
I have to agree in
the
NFC too. San Francisco, I like the Saints. To me, it's the San Francisco, it's the 49ers, and then you got like Dallas, Saints. I'll even throw Seattle, and be honest with you, maybe even the Bucks in there, Minnesota even. You got too many teams, like you said, even that are in that like, it's like 1-2 mm-hmm. and 2A kind of, you know what I mean? NFC, too many good teams.
I agree with you on the Bucks because of obviously Tom Brady, but their defense still worries me. I mean, their secondary, they didn't do enough to fix that secondary. So Tom Brady's going to have to really do what he usually does.
Definitely on offense,
they got better.
You know, Jeff and I have been arguing about it, but I think they're two games better, and they sneak into the playoffs at the third wild card this year. They have three wild cards in each conference now. I think they do. I think Tom Brady's worth two wins. But they're so far away from me.
Tom Brady wasn't worth two.
Yeah, the Winfield pickup in the secondary. A lot of people falling asleep on that. That's a pretty big pickup for that secondary.
He's a solid player, but I just don't. I mean, he's 5'8" I can't.
He's tiny.
I agree. Jeff, give me your two. Give me your two. Two teams in the NFC and two teams in the AFC that you have had out ahead of everybody at this point.
I would have to say. For the AFC, I'm going to go with the Bills. I think the Bills are going to surprise a lot of people. I'm not going to say they're going to challenge for the Super Bowl, but I think they're going to definitely challenge for the division. I would have to say Kansas City. I don't think that they're going to lose a step. I think they're only going to get stronger. As far as the NFC goes, I got to say, and I wouldn't have said this 2 weeks ago, but I'm saying it now, I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to be a team to watch. I know you guys are saying their defense. Everything, but is suspect. But I think you have to take into consideration that after adding Gronkowski and Brady, that people really aren't going to worry too much about their defense. They're going to be more concerned and look more at their offense. And I'm anxious to see what the Saints do this year. After hearing that Breeze signed that contract to become a broadcaster next year, or starting next year after this summer or after this season. I want to see if they do what they got to do and try to win. You know, are they a win now this year? Are they going to try to do everything they can to win a Super Bowl title this year? So that's what I'm looking for.
Probably why they picked up Jameson Winston.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they're already turning the keys of the place over to Hill. I mean, Tamson Hill is a nice player, but I don't get that whole thing, but. You know, listen, the Saints, I think the Saints take a step backwards. I still think they win the division, and I'm not buying – a lot of people buying into the Falcons. But I think the Saints still win the division. But Matt, they're not winning 13 games this year. I don't see it. I think that's an 11-win, 10-win team. I think Breeze didn't play great last year, especially in the playoff game.
Yes. Well, you know, I go with history, and I just think that he's still playing solid football. And,
absolutely. Listen, I would take him on my team. Yeah, for a year.
Well, and the other thing too is especially that the team's been together and the system's been together, and this shortened with the new coaches and the shortened season that we're going to be dealing with. You know, you're going to have to deal with a team that the system's been together and the team's been together. That's going to count a lot this year.
Oh yeah, I agree. But here's for me, guys. I'm going to go with and against you guys a little bit. I don't know. You know, Chiefs, Bills in the AFC, are ahead. I think the Bills had a great offseason, and I think they're ready for the next step up. And, there's a couple of teams you can mention there, but I'll say on the other side, I have a hard time in the NFC. I think the 49ers are going to take a step back, and it's the Super Bowl curse. It happened to the Falcons. It happened to the Rams. You get there and you lose. And you just don't recover. And it happened to the Panthers. It happens to a lot of teams. You play great all year. You get there, and then you get beat in that game. And I don't think you recover. So I don't think I'm not buying the 49ers this year. I think they're going to take a little bit of a step back. They may win their division. I'm not going to say that. But on the upside of that, I got to tell you, it's going to pain the shit out of me, but I think the Cowboys are going to be tough to deal with this year. I think the Cowboys are a step up this year. I think they're a little ahead of things right now. Frankie, Seahawks is a good one. The NFC is a very tough Tampa, Jeff. I think Jeff's right with Tampa. It's hard to say they're not going to be two or three games better with Tom Brady. So, I'll go Cowboys, Tampa as teams that are up ahead a little bit right now until, things sort out. But, guys, we got to bring this to a close. It's a blast, but unfortunately, I got to bring this to an end tonight. But Frankie, Matt, I want to thank you guys tremendously for coming on tonight and spending some time.
Well, thanks for having us, man.
Yeah, I mean, somewhere down the line, maybe once everything settles down, we'll do something right before camps open up again, and then we'll do a little bit more. Jefe, it's always great doing the show, and we'll be back again tomorrow.
Yeah, looking forward to it, man. I'm going to talk to this guy, Blothar, Blogard, whatever his name is.
Listen, let's go, man.
We could be talking to Adam Gase, who could be worse.
Yeah, exactly.
But, guys, I want to thank everybody out there for listening to Hard Rocket Sports for this special edition.
Thanks for having me, Tommy.
Just so you guys know, I'm taking this. My brother's going to kind of do some stuff with it, and we're going to package it and send it out to some people. But so I wanted to get this on tape, and it's being taped right now. And I'll try to add some video to it. We'll see how it plays out. It's going to take a while. But I want to thank you two guys, especially for giving up an hour and 20 minutes of your time. And I love you both, and thanks for coming on the show. And, I'm sure I'll be talking to you guys off the air about football, as we always do.
All right, guys.
You got it. Love you, brother. Take care, guys.
See you soon, man. Later.
And so, Jeff, that leaves me and you to close it up. I want to thank everybody Frank, Jeffrey, Matt, Salitri, everybody out there listening. Thanks to Big Nick Marino, Big Sexy, Sam Bone, everybody at Hard Rocket Sports for all their stuff. Thanks to my partner, crime, Mr. Jeff Talwinski. So, Jeff, it was not live sports, but it was something.
Yeah, listen, what are you talking about? On the show or the draft?
The draft.
The draft, they did what they had to do with the draft. There was no way. I commend the NFL for going to the length that they did. They are the only sports so far that was able, not wanting, but able to stick to their timeline. And I think
you're right.
For a lot of different reasons. Baseball could play half a season. Hockey and basketball look like they're trying to get things back together and could start their seasons up. But football is one of those sports that they kind of have to stick to their schedule as best they can. They really can't cut many corners.
And
it gave people something to do. And something like 55 million people watched the draft. So
that's amazing.
That goes to show you that a lot of people are waiting for something. You know what I mean?
I think the first sport that opens up is going to get the biggest TV ratings of their entire lives. I don't care if it's hockey, football, basketball, baseball. because we're just so starved for live sports. Listen, everything I've watched sports lately has been an old game, something I've watched 50 times, something I've watched before. So it was nice. Again, it wasn't a sporting event, but it was something to deal with sports. And we had a great show. We've had 360 views of our video feed. And I think we did pretty well on the radio side as well. So it was a good show for us that night.
Let me ask you something, Tom. Is there anywhere in the country at all where there's women watching that show just enjoying themselves?
Not even in my own house.
Wow. But, yeah, I hear you. I got the same issue here.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think it was probably a tremendous sausage fest, if you're asking me.
So, in other words, are you saying that somewhere within the country, the confines of the country, maybe even in Uganda, wherever it is, that there's a man right now getting ready to sit down and watch this show for, say, the 10th time since Thursday with one purpose in mind?
It's very possible, yes. I think that's a better there's a better chance of that happening.
Well, I hope they're aiming for your side of the screen.
Well,
actually,
you know
what? No. What? Let me take that back. I hope they're aiming for Mike.
Well, Mike had two guys who were just completely ripping him the whole time. I don't know if you were reading the comments, but there were two guys who were just ripping him.
I saw some of that, yeah.
I had to ban them because they were like...
Yeah, what was that all about? Why were they going
to... I have no idea. I meant to ask Mike if he knew who they were. I figured maybe he told somebody they were breaking his chops, and he, you know, I think it was no. And they would just went after Mike with a passion. I actually blocked them during the show. I blocked them and tried to get rid of as many of their messages possible. So for, I don't know how they popped up on our show, but as much as I like having people watch and comment, and it really was a lot of fun. I can't wait to do another show that way. But we had a couple guys abusing Mike, and I had to stop it.
What were they saying? I only saw some of the comments, but what were they saying? What were they getting personal on him or something?
Some of them were getting a little personal. You know, I think there was a couple comments about Mike and having big teeth and stupid and some like just dumb stuff. He looks like he's a dumb fuck. I was like, okay, he's got to go. So
wow.
Mike's got his tablet out and he's showing the guy. And the guy looks like he lives in his mother's basement. I mean, to be honest with you, if you look at the guy's profile thing. But, I had to get rid of him. But we did have a lot of people, Joe Flynn, Louis Pika, a lot of people, Joe Cloak, who were watching the draft with us, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah. I don't believe you'll have any – you had any female admirers watching the show that night, Jeff. I don't think anybody was watching it and any females were watching the show with us that night, so.
There was nobody letting it rip, huh?
I'm almost positive that wasn't the case. But we'll let it rip tomorrow at 3 o'clock. We'll get on the air. We'll do some more football stuff. We got some more sports stuff to talk about. And, of course, we'll talk to Blothar from Guar. I was hoping to interview the guy behind the mask, but I think we're interviewing the man in the mask. But I'll let you know. And Thursday night back here again, 6:30 to 9:30. So, Hefe, there's only one way to close up the Hard Rock and Sports Show. You know what that is?
Yes, sir.
Stage is that moose, you know.
So when you're playing, you feel like a preserved moose on stage.
Yeah.
Hey, Jeff, I hope your wife's feeling better, and I hope you're doing okay over there, enjoying a couple of days off while you can. But I want to thank you for popping up with, and helping me with this, and thank you very much, man.
Oh, no, thanks, man. Always fun, as always. I'm actually going to go up and check on her now. She's been quiet. But hopefully she's just resting and taking it easy.
All right. Well, again, for Jeff Towinski, Nick Marino, Sam, myself, and everybody at Hard Rock and Sports, thanks for listening. And we'll see you tomorrow, Tuesday, April 28th at 3 p.m. for our next edition of the Hard Rock and Sports Show, and, of course, Thursday night. Thanks, bro. I'll talk to you later.
Later, man.